Title of our speech for today is
The Truth is Taught in the House of Yahweh,
while Deception is Being Taught by the Catholic Church. Growing up, then coming to the House of Yahweh made me realize the lies being taught to the world and the continuous deception out there. Now, I am truly blessed to know the truth through the House of Yahweh.
Growing up in the House of Yahweh has shown me the benefits of having been taught these Ten Commandments and the blessings that come from practicing them.
For many years, until now, we know that the Catholic Church have deceived the world by forgetting about the commandments and laws of Father Yahweh.
Yisrael Hawkins has been teaching for many years now that Yahweh's laws are perfect. Perfect means without defect or blemish. So I want you all to imagine something. Imagine your best-like meal prepared perfectly, sitting in front of you. Before you eat it, we're going to add just a little sand and some vinegar. Now, is that meal still perfect?
We want to point out one commandment as an example of this deception in the world. If you can open your book of Yahweh to Exodus 20:2-6, page 61. That's Exodus 20:2-6, page 61. And verse 2 says, I am Yahweh, your heavenly Father, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.
You shall have no hinder gods at all. They are in opposition against me.
You shall not make for yourself any carved image, an idol in the form of anything in heaven and earth above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below.
You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, Yahweh, your Father, am a heavenly Father who is zealous for my house. The sins of the fathers will be on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who transgress my laws and change them.
Thousands who love me by keeping my laws. As you can see, here are some pictures how the Catholic Church have deceived the world. You'll see that they are actually carrying and saving their gods through sicknesses, diseases, and disasters. They are taught that once they worship and serve these gods, they are the ones being saved. But if you can see, it's the other way around. Would you imagine having the 11th commandment? In one of Pastor's sermon, he said that when the 11th commandment will be there, the Catholic Church will be teaching, will be dictating, choosing us, for us, the gods that people will be worshiping. And with the pictures that you saw, do you now see who will the people be worshiping? There are curses that comes in changing and forgetting the commandments. There's confusion because there are so many gods out there. The prayers are not being answered. And most especially, there's curse of death.
Now that you've heard some of the curses, let's cover some of the blessings. We know our Creator is Yahweh, and it's Him whom we worship. So we don't have the confusion of worshiping all these different statues and idols. Also, we have a teacher, Yisrael Hawkins, who loves us enough to dedicate his life to teaching us. I'd like to show you some pictures. These pictures show the rejoicing that takes place in the house of Yahweh. And this joy comes automatically with living according to Yahweh's laws.
We know that when we obey Yahweh's words, we know that only then we will be truly blessed. Loving Father Yahweh means loving what He loves and hates what He hates. Remember, Yahweh's commands are always in the best interest of His people. His ways are the best, designed for maximum benefits and abundant blessings for all of us.
In conclusion, remember, there is only one place where the truth is being taught, where the commandments and laws are being practiced, and only one place where we actually receive the blessings of keeping these commandments the way that Yahweh intended them to be, not by adding an 11th one, or taking away from them, or changing them in any way. For our closing scripture, if you would turn to Psalms 19:7-8, it says, "The laws of Yahweh are perfect, converting the whole person. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making the simple ones wise. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing in the heart. The commandments of Yahweh are pure, bringing understanding to the eyes." Now, if you'd please welcome the next person for prayer.
So shalom again, everyone. How are you doing? I would like to officially welcome you to another Sabbath program. We have a wonderful panel of speakers arranged for you today, and we all share a common goal. That goal is perfection. This perfection can only be obtained through the demonstration, implementation, and application of the tested and tried and proven 613 laws and the Ten Commandments of our Heavenly Father Yahweh. These same foundational guidelines that were handed down from Adam. These Ten Commandments are basic guidelines that cover all areas of life, both biblical and personal. It is vital that you pay close attention to what our speakers have to say and take note and grasp the significance of the message so that you are not deceived by the recent modifications deceiving the majority at this present time. And me again as your first speaker, I'm going to segue right into my speech. The title of my speech is The Plot Thickens. Why is the Pope trying to do away with the Ten Commandments? In order for you to know the answer to this, you must be fully educated in the teachings of our overseer. I'm going to give you a very brief history of the doing away with, the attempted destruction of, and the suppression of the Ten Commandments over history. Now, as we know, it has always been the practice of Satan to try to destroy the Ten Commandments and Yahweh's laws, and anyone who came preaching the keeping and upholding of those commandments and laws. Our overseer told us plenty of times that Satan had tried to wipe him out before he was born so that he couldn't do the work that he was assigned to do. Does everyone remember that? I'm going to give you another example. Everyone turn to Exodus 1, verse 21 through 22. Exodus chapter 1, verse 21 through 22. It's on page 45. And because the midwives had the reverence of Yahweh, Yahweh therefore gave families to them. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born to the Hebrews you must throw into the river, but every daughter you shall let live." What was Satan trying to do here? She was trying to kill Moshe. And what did Moshe come teaching? He came teaching the Ten Commandments and the laws of Yahweh. Let's turn over to Matithiah, chapter 2, verse 13. Matithiah, chapter 2, and verse 13, on page 729. And when they had gone, behold, the Malach of Yahweh appeared to Yosef in a dream, saying, "Get up and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Remain there until I bring you word, for Herod is about to seek after the young child to kill him." This was Satan's attempt to wipe out Yeshua Messiah, our Savior, who also came teaching the Ten Commandments and the laws of Yahweh. If she couldn't get to one messenger, she would change the plot, change the scheme, and she'd try again the next generation, the next messenger, the next year. She was patient. She waited. But Yahweh did not let her prevail. Every time another prophet or appointed person of Yahweh came along, Satan would try to wipe them out. And now in these last days, there's nothing different. Ecclesiastes tells us there is nothing new under the sun. She is behind and pushing this system that has deemed it necessary to change the Ten Commandments. She is behind the same system that now legalizes marijuana, which aids and plays a big role in the clouding of the mind so that you cannot discern between righteousness and evil, between wrong and right. She aids the system that legalizes homosexuality, which we heard last week assists in the long run of the prevention of the world's population. She's behind the system that tells you that you may only worship gods and deities that the system approves of, which, as the scripture says, makes the name of Yahweh of no effect. Satan understands that without the Ten Commandments, there is no salvation. But Yahweh has a plan too. In Genesis 1, verse 26, Yahweh tells us that he fully intends to make us in his image and in his likeness. The foundation for this promise is the laws of Yahweh and the Ten Commandments. Once we learn these and learn to teach them, we will be on our way to reigning with Yahweh and Yeshua throughout all eternity. What I want you to understand is that the kingdom of Yahweh cannot be stopped. The work of Yahweh will not be stopped. Yahweh is grooming his body of beings. Praise Yahweh. As much as Satan may try, she cannot stop this work. And I would like to share this scripture with you that I found in Galatians chapter 3. I'd like everyone to turn there. Galatians chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. It says, I would like to know just one thing from you. Do you receive spirit by doing anything outside of the law or by hearing anything outside of the faith? House of Yahweh, do we receive spirit by doing anything outside of the law?
No.
No. Do we receive spirit by hearing anything outside of the faith?
No.
No. It says, are you so foolish, having made a beginning in spirit, are you now trying to attain perfection through the flesh? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really is for nothing? Therefore, is the spirit given to you and mighty works done among you by doing anything outside of the law or by hearing anything outside of the faith?
No.
No. And I want to leave you with something that our overseer told us 2 weeks ago, and it stuck out to me. He said, a righteous person does not promote murder. A righteous person does not add to or take away from the Ten Commandments. A righteous person repents and turns to the keeping of Yahweh's perfect laws. I thank you for your time, and I would like to turn it over to our next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom. Please be seated. I hope everyone enjoyed their week. It's an honor and privilege to be able to stand before the saints of Yahweh. The title of my speech today is With the Promise. Now, I would like to ask you if you can just think, if you weren't sitting here in the sanctuary, where would you be? What kind of person would you be? And do you actually think, with all the chaos that's going on in the world, that you'd have any answers? So with that in mind, I know I wouldn't. Being here at the House of Yahweh, it's such an honor and privilege to be here. Now, if y'all can turn with me over to Exodus chapter 20. And just look at verse 12. Honor your father and mother so your days may be long upon the land which Yahweh your father has given you. Now, from the very, very beginning, our mom and dad have been the ones that have taught us, even if we didn't even know it. From the very day that we started doing anything, they've constantly reinforced and brought us up. Now, if you think about it, when you have no one else to go to, or you are seeking an answer, who do you run to? I can only think back to when my mom used to be around, and I would call her up and say, hey, mom, do I put the yolks and the egg whites? Do I mix it all together to make chile rellenos? Like, how do I do that? Do I put them? You know, I mean, they're the first person you think of. You call them up, or if you have any questions, you will go running to them in any type of situation. So they're always there for you when you're struggling, when you're trying to get answers where you don't know where else to look. They give us our backbone to pursue our goals and to become better people than they themselves. Now, if you can think about having your first baby, or if you've never had children, holding this precious baby in your arms, and when you're looking down on this baby, all you can think about is what you can give them. And you want to give them everything. So Father Yahweh, in the same way, he wants to give us everything, and all we have to do is be obedient, showing him honor through our obedience. And of course, every now and then we scrape our knee, but as long as we get back up and keep pursuing and keep following God's instructions, we're reaping the benefits ourselves. By being obedient to the right instructions that they give us, it leaves no room to fall, no room for struggle or strife, no chaos. if we all work together and just be obedient to our mother, which is the house of Yahweh, and our father, who's laid out everything for us, what more could we ask for? If you can turn over to 2 Timothy 2:19. Can someone shout out? Oh, wait. I got it. Never mind. Nevertheless, the foundation of Yahweh stands sure, having this seal. Yahweh knows those who are his, because everyone who reverences the name of Yahweh departs from iniquity. And iniquity is doing away with the laws. So in closing, choose life. So therefore, choose life, the benefit of obedience, so your days may be long and your children's, so you and your children's lives may live. Praise Yahweh. Thank you so much for your attention, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech is called The Statutes of Yahweh. And I want to start out by asking you, did you ever consider that the fairy tale lies of this system would end with death, destruction, pain, and hurt? Satan was a deceiver from the beginning. What are we? Are we the cause or are we the solution? When you were being raised in this system, or when you raised your children in this system, did you have a foundation? What were you basing your teachings on when you raised your children? Or what did your teachers base their teachings on when they raised you? What did we produce? Where are we today? Where are our children today? Did we consider the outcome of our teachings that we based our foundation on? If any of your teachings was based on traditions, then which one of your traditions produced a product whose mind is not messed up and damaged from this confused system and the lies? In the year 2010, 96% of the families were living in a dysfunctional home. Today, it's 2015. There's no such thing as a family or a home, because it was stolen and turned into something confused and defiled. How can there be anything pure out of a mixture? Do you see this jar? When you mix dirt and water together, what do you get? If everyone is swimming in the same tank of dirty water with mud, lies, deceit, and false teachings, they're all blind. You put your head in a bowl of dirty water and tell me what you can see. You can't see. And that's how everyone is in this system right now, who is wanting to be led by the one that's wanting to change the Ten Commandments. Now, because of rebellion, we are a confused generation. Today, families can't even stay together past a year. It's a fight and a struggle to keep something pure. Why? Because of the confused fairy tale lies of this system. Because of men wanting to change the Ten Commandments and do away with the laws. The very laws that brought peace in our homes. Think about it again. Imagine a family home again, where everyone would be standing in their place and they will have a solid foundation that cannot and will not be changed, added to or taken away. Now imagine what you see today. You got confusion being called something pure and holy and right. If we fall for this mess of the man wanting to change the Ten Commandments, we just committed a murder. We just stole a life. We just contributed to adultery and have pushed aside the very laws that brought peace in our homes. We have taken the opportunity for our children to know something pure and right. And we become the very liar, deceiver, and murderer of the one from the beginning. Think about that the next time you ask, why is there so much shootings? Why the wars? Why the fires? Who lied and said we can continue to make choices that is cursing us with diseases, death, sickness, and suffering? Who was it? If you find the root of the problem and the lies, and the cause, then you'll fix the problem. In Isaiah chapter 24, verse 5 and 6, it talks about the man, these people, that are wanting to change the Ten Commandments. They're wanting to do away with Yahweh's laws. And because of that, they're cursing everyone around them. I'm telling you right now, Yahweh is our provider, our guide, our friend, and father. And he is the only one that can give us salvation. Yisro Hawkins is Yahweh to us today and right now. And he is the only one telling us to be strong. Do not fall for these lies. If the lie seems sweet, then stay in it. But eventually it's going to smother you up. Because it's a lie. And a lie, no matter how it's told, is a lie. And the majority of them today are lies that start with a D and end in an M. Because they're cursing you, your children, and everyone around you. So if you feel a hook trying to fish you out, don't be a fool. Grab hold of it. Take it. Because I can promise you that what you see right now, this fairy tale, all the lies, is going to end. And it's going to all pass away. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. If you could please turn over to Exodus chapter 20. I'll be reading in verse 7. It says, "You shall not take the name of Yahweh, your heavenly Father, to bring it to nothing, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who brings dishonor upon or profanes his name." Today, I will be focusing on the third commandment, the real third commandment. You shall not take the name of Yahweh, your heavenly Father, and bring it to nothing. After Yeshua and his disciples finished their work, the divining serpent and the popes took away Yahweh's name, replacing it with the titles of Lord and God. Notice I said titles because God is not a name. It never has been and it never will be. And Lord is something that the popes use to call each other each and every day. This evil deception of removing Yahweh's name has caused the people to forget the name of the Creator, resulting in a world of pain and misery. The pain and misery is fatherless children, children running around without morals and guidance, not knowing what their father has to offer them, which is peace, safety, and security, a place without sickness and no more war. By taking away Yahweh's name and changing it to God, you add to and take away from the book of Yahweh, the book of life. Please turn over to Revelations chapter 22, the last book in your Holy Scriptures. I'll be reading verses 18 and 19. It says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man will add to these things, Yahweh will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man will take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Yahweh will take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." When you take away Yahweh's name, you are causing harm and pain for yourself. You cut yourself off and you take away the protection that you have from the sickness and diseases. Your Creator, our Father, our Heavenly Father Yahweh, set up for us a protection by calling upon His name and keeping His Sabbath and His feast days. For my last scripture, please turn over to 1 Kings chapter 18, and I will show you proof that Yahweh's name, well, he will answer your prayers if you call upon his name. I'll be reading verses 24 through 27, 30, 36, and 38. And it says, "Then you call on the name of your God, Lord, and I will call on the name of Yahweh. It will be the mighty one who answers with fire. He is the mighty one. All the people responded and said, "What you say is right." Now this is Ilya talking to the popes at that time, or the priest. Then Ilya said to the prophets of the Lord, "Choose one bull first and prepare it for yourselves. Since there are so many of you, call on the name of your God, Lord, but do not set a fire under it." So they took a bull provided for them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Lord from morning until noon. They called out, "O Lord, hear us," but there was no response. No one answered, and they limped around the altar they had made. At noon, Ilya began mocking them and said, "Cry louder. Since he is a god, he must be meditating or busy or traveling. And maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened." So he showed them the foolishness of what they were doing because their god wouldn't answer them. And it said, then Ilya said to the people, "Now come here to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of Yahweh, which had been broken down. When he was to offer the sacrifice, Ilya the prophet stepped forward and prayed, "Yahweh, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day you are the mighty father of Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Yahweh, hear me, so as people may know that you are Yahweh, Almighty, and you will turn their hearts and understanding back again." Then the fire of Yahweh fell and burned up the sacrifices, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and it licked up the water that was in the soil. So it showed that Yahweh's power was mightier than the power of God's. So why aren't your prayers answered today? Because you know not to whom you pray. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And with this, I will turn it over to the next speaker.
You may be seated. The title of my speech today is Change Not. So have you heard? Pope Francis said he has been instructed by God to change the Ten Commandments. That's right. That same Pope who said, who am I to judge the gays, can apparently change the Ten Commandments. This is not the first time the Vatican has changed the Ten Commandments. They have been changing it for many years. From the Catechism of the Catholic Church, we can see right over there that they took out Yahweh's name. And they took out the second commandment, "You shall not make for yourself any carved image," bumping up the rest of the commandments, then changing the commandment of the Sabbath day to Lord's Day, which is Sunday worship. Then splitting the last commandment of "You shall not covet" into two. "You shall not covet your neighbor's wife," and "You shall not covet your neighbor's goods." So, with these already changed Ten Commandments, Pope Francis wants to furthermore change the Ten Commandments into 11, taking out "You shall not commit adultery," adding "You shall not partake in genetic engineering," adding "gay parents to honoring your father and mother," and adding "You shall not have personal idolization." And we see that the Vatican changing the Ten Commandments has not helped our world, but it has brought it into the turmoil that it is in today. We can just turn on the news and see the confusion, the devastation, the pain and suffering, the incurable diseases, the crazy weather patterns that's never heard of, the hatred and war between people and nations. All of these are caused by the changing and doing away with Yahweh's laws and commandments. We, the house of Yahweh, don't want this. And that's why we say to those who are changing the commandments, we change not the original commandments of Yahweh. We are following our high priest Yahshua's example in Matthew 5:17-18. "We have not come to destroy Yahweh's laws, but to establish them. And it will no way pass away." Now the original Ten Commandments, which is over there, found in Exodus 20, you shall have no hinder gods. You shall not make for yourself any carved image. You shall not take the name of your heavenly father to bring it to nothing. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal.
You shall not bear false testimony. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. When these original commandments are being kept, you reap the benefits of keeping them. And that is found in Deuteronomy 30, verse 2 to 16, ultimately gaining true peace and love for one another. So to the Vatican, the Pope, and whoever else that is changing the Ten Commandments, you have been warned in Revelation 22, verse 18 to 19, not to add or take away from Yahweh's laws and commandments. As for we, the house of Yahweh, we stand firm with the original Ten Commandments, and we change not. With that, I turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. My name is Jasmine, and the title of my speech today is Honor Your Mother and Father So Your Days Will Be Longer. So as far back as I can remember growing up as a child, my mother always told me, Jasmine, honor your mother and father so your days will be longer. She really harped on it. So I looked in the American Heritage Dictionary, the word honor. It means to hold, respect, esteem, to show respect for. The Peaceful Solution teaches us that respect is to show care and concern for all life, for everything. Being taught by our great overseer, Israel Abra Hawkins, he has taught us that the house of Yahweh is our earthly mother, and you can find that in Revelation 12, and our heavenly father is Yahweh, and you can find that in Matthew 6:9. According to the American Heritage Dictionary, a mother and father means someone who nourishes or begets a child. We are greatly being nourished by our overseer, our great overseer, aren't we, House of Yahweh? Praise Yahweh. So I have one question. Who makes up the House of Yahweh? If we could all turn over to Romans 12:5, found on page 883. And it states that, so we, being many, are one body in Messiah, and each one member belonging, one belonging to another. So with that scripture, we know that we are the house of Yahweh. We should all be teaching the peaceful solution by our examples, even when no one is looking. We should honor those who Yahweh has placed to have authority over us. If we could all turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5:12, found on page 930. And it says, and we appeal to you, brothers, to acknowledge those who labor among you and are over you in Yahweh and admonish you. The chief requirement to honor those who have authority over us is humility. Even Yahshua said we must become as a child, and that means to become humble. According to the Analytical Hebrew Lexicon by Benjamin Davison, a child means pupil of all ages. No one is ever old to be corrected. Did you know a child can teach you something new? My children teach me something new every day. Moving on to Hebrews 10, found on 10:24, found on page 949. 10:24, it says, and let us consider one another, how we may urge one another towards love and righteous works. With that in mind, we should lift our sisters up, encourage each other on towards righteousness. Because if we don't lift one another up and we are tearing each other down, we are not showing honor to our Heavenly Father Yahweh. We would not be fulfilling our purpose in life, which is Genesis 1:26. With my last scripture, let's turn over to Deuteronomy 30:19, and I'm pretty sure we all know that scripture. And it says, I have set before you, I call heaven and earth as witness against you this day, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life, so both you and your children may live. We see the world's curses. We are here today witnessing with our great overseer, seer, the world's curses for rejecting Yahweh's laws. So I plead that you all and myself, that we all choose life, that we show honor to our spiritual and our physical parents. I was reading in the commentary Peaceful Solution book. It stated that teaching starts at home. The house of Yahweh is our home. So we all should be in unity with what the house teaches. We are walking mirrors of our parents. I want to be a walking mirror of the house of Yahweh and Yahweh. Do you? The Peaceful Solution is our tool to incorporate in the homes to stop all disrespect, violence, and war. In closing, I can say now that keeping this law in mind and heart since a child, I can now show my mother that I've honored her by standing strong for Yahweh in his house. And with this, I will turn it over to the next teacher.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is The Broken Stones. Okay, I want you to look at this picture. This is the title of my speech, The Broken Stones. All right, I'm going to start off in Genesis 4, verse 2 through 7. Okay, on Genesis 4, verse 2 through 7. And I'm going to start in verse 3. And on one of Yahweh's Sabbaths, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to Yahweh. And Abel, besides bringing his offering of the fruit of the ground, also brought a sacrifice of the firstlings of his flock and their fat. And Yahweh honored Abel and his offerings. In the next verse, verse 5, but he did not honor Cain and his offerings. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Moving on to verse 8, he says, now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were spread abroad that Cain rose against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Now keep in mind, this is the first biblical example that we have of murder in the scriptures. Okay, so why did Cain have the desire to kill his brother? It's the exact same as the reason people get angry and they murder today. Why is that? Because iniquity, which is the breaking of Yahweh's laws. The religions are teaching that the laws are done away with. If something's done away with it, do you keep it? Do you pay mind to it? No, because it's done away with. But it's not. The laws of Yahweh and the Ten Commandments have not been done away with. If you'll turn with me over to Exodus 20, verse 7, and Exodus 20, verse 7 on page 61. It says, you shall not take the name of Yahweh, your heavenly Father, to bring it to nothing. For Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who brings dishonor upon or profanes his name. Do you see any religion in the world today practicing the name of Yahweh? And if they are, do they have the name Yahweh? Do they stand up for all the Ten Commandments? Are they backing all the 613 laws? Are they keeping the seventh-day Sabbath? All these things are what Yisroel Hawkins has told us to watch for. If they have the name of Yahweh, are they keeping the Sabbath day? Do they use the name of Yahweh to pray? If they don't, then they're not the house of Yahweh. They're not using the name of Yahweh. And how do we know this? How do we know that we're not using the name of Yahweh? The religions aren't? Because on June 29th of 2008, the Vatican authored a directive that said the name of Yahweh is not to be spoken ever in the Catholic Church or any religion. They took it from all their literature. Now, I came across something lately that I want to tell you about. If you look right over here, we've all heard of the King James Version, correct? Well, this is a new Bible called the Queen James Version. Okay, and I had to look it up to make sure you can purchase it. It is real. It's really written. It's a Bible called the Queen James Version. And whenever I heard this, I thought, why would we create another Bible? I mean, we have a Bible. Why would we feel the need to create a Bible? And the answer is because we know the Ten Commandments should be kept. We want to justify what we're doing, so we write another Bible that says, you can have same-sex marriage, you can have homosexuality, sodomy is okay. That's the only thing that this Bible is different from the King James Version, is that we've found a way to justify the sins that we are committing. But as you see, they wrote another Bible, so we know the laws aren't done away with. We know the Ten Commandments need to be kept all over the world today. Now let's refresh your memory of last week. The overseer was bringing us, and he gave us the example of the golden calf. Do you all remember that? And he was explaining it to us. The golden calf was the representation of a religion that was taking place. It was a money-making industry religion, and it was all the way back in Moshe's time. So we can tell that this religion didn't just come up. It's been going on for years, as the previous speaker said. The Ten Commandments, Satan's been working a really long time to knock him out. 6,000 years, and she still hasn't, because the house of Yahweh will prevail. Hey, I want to praise Yahweh. Now let's move on to commandment number 6, which is you shall not murder. How many of you have ever played a video game? You don't have to raise your hand. If you've ever played a video game, okay, did it have murder in it? Did you ever have a gun in your hand, a knife, right? These are things that we see. If we're selling and promoting video games, which promotes murder, should we really be shocked when we have teenagers committing murder? Should we really be shocked that we're so desensitized that if you turn on the news and you don't see a murder, oh, guess nobody died today? Are we it's become so desensitized as a world that when we see a life, it's just another number. We don't realize it as a person. And that's because if you put in your notes, Matthew 24, verse 12, Yahweh has told us that the love of many in these last days has grown cold. Okay, now I want to read for you Revelations 22, verse 14 and 18. It says, blessed are those, verse 14, blessed are those who keep his laws, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter and through the gates into the city. This is what is promised to us in the house of Yahweh. Now go to verse 18. This is for all of those who want to be part of this religion who does away with Yahweh's laws. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecies of this book, if any man will add to these things, Yahweh will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And as we look around the world today, we can see the plagues. We can see the sickness and the diseases that are taking place, and they're plaguing all over the world. But we're still not repenting of our sins, which if you put in your notes, Revelations 9, verse 21 to 22. Okay, now in closing, if you look right over here, this is what we will have if we stay strong in Yahweh's great house and we keep pushing forth. Remember the plan of Yahweh. Make the plan of Yahweh real for you. It's a real. We are a part of it, and we can usher in this great kingdom. And together, all the world, they will say that the Ten Commandments are the laws that we can live with. I thank you for your time, and if you all stand, I'll turn over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is The Unity We Must All Achieve. I'm going to be talking about the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, which is found in Exodus 20, verse 12. We can never be too old to honor, to show honor. We can never be too old to show honor, ever. Which is found in Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents. Who are we children of? The greatest teacher in the world, Father Yahweh. Children, obey your parents. That's all of us. Every person in the house of Yahweh. Children, obey your parents in Yahweh, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise. For it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. In Webster's dictionary, the word honor is fairness, integrity in one's belief and actions, to show high respect for, to give glory, to worship. This was actually in the dictionary, and it says to worship the supreme being. So they know. It's in their dictionary. They're the one that put it there. And also in Webster's dictionary, the word father and mother is a parent or authority. An authority can be many different people. A protector, a provider, one who takes full responsibility of. Who takes full responsibility of us in our everyday life? Pastor, he's our provider, he's our teacher, he's provided protection, he's provided everything that we need. He is one who takes full responsibility of our life. Full responsibility. It could also be an older sibling, a priest, or a kohana, or even our supervisor. Did you ever think your supervisor could be your parent? Yes, she can. In Deuteronomy 28, 15, 14, for if we will diligently observe to do all these laws, then you will not turn aside of any of the laws which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, by going after and serving gods. However, if you will not obey Yahweh your father and do not carefully follow his laws, his statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses will accompany you and come upon you. A person's character of one who shows honor, a holder of a high office, uprightness, honesty, sincerity referred to the highest moral principles. Isn't that what we're practicing now? Moral principles? The absence of deceit or fraud, a strict conformity to what is considered morally and right. Trustworthiness or consideration. If you can turn over to Galatians 5:22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, the faith, meekness, gentleness, humility, self-control, and temperance. Where else have we heard self-control? The peaceful solution. And that's been around for a while, ever since 2004. And those who are of the Messiah have sacrificed the flesh, meaning we have given up everything we ever had to be here. The carnal mind with all of its passions and lusts. If we will live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. A person's character of one who shows dishonor, shame, damage, discredit, humiliation, and ill. Has anyone ever heard the phrase, "Why are you being so ill?" Well, if you have, you'll know what I mean. For the works of the flesh are obvious, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, licentiousness, God worship, sorcery, hatred, contentions, evil jealousies, rage, selfish ambitions, dissensiousness, disagreement with quarreling, heresies, or faction of division, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalry, and the like. Which I will warn you beforehand, just as in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. He didn't say you might not, you will not. And we don't want to be categorized in that. We want to make it into the kingdom. That's why we're here. Remember, Yahweh gave us the opportunity to choose. It is up to us. Every individual to choose. I can't choose it for you. You can't choose it for me. We have to make our own choice. In Deuteronomy 30, 15, and 18, he says, "See, I have set before you this day life by righteousness and death and destruction, in that I command you this day to love Yahweh your Father by walking in all his ways and keeping all of his laws, his statutes, and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and so Yahweh your Father may bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, you are drawn away to submit to gods, to serve them and to worship them. I declare to you this day, you will surely perish." And for my conclusion, Yochanan 14, 15, and 23. He says, "If you will keep my laws, my commandments..." Yahshua answered and said to him, "If a man loves me and keeps my word, the teaching pertaining to the laws and the prophets, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." And sisters, family of Yahweh, we are never too old to show respect to someone. And Mr. Pope, that includes you. And it is now my privilege and honor to turn it to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is "You Shall Not Murder." In Revelations 11, verse 7, it prophesied that the Pope would murder Pastor and his brother through character assassination. But Yahweh says, "You shall not murder." We don't want to take on the character of the popes, right? Look at how important our words are. We can actually murder with our tongue. We can murder with our thoughts.
Remember, Yahweh says, you shall not murder. We must put our thoughts into subjection with Yahweh's. Be like Yahweh. We must change our neural pathways in our mind to think positively about each other and ourselves. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16, it says, when one turns to Yahweh, the veil is taken away. As we change our neural pathways, the veil of hatred and anger, the Leviathan goes away, and we can actually see each other for who we really are, Yahweh. Everyone has something to offer me, and everyone has something to offer you. We are all valuable. In Psalms 19, 7 through 9, it says, the laws of Yahweh are perfect, converting the whole person. And the testimony of Yahweh is sure, and this is so cute, making the simple ones wise, all right? We can be Yahweh's testimonies. As we change, our thoughts, they become our beliefs, and our beliefs become who we really are. Yahweh can see our hearts. And while no man can know the heart of another, Yahweh chose each of us to be here. Yes, each of us to be here. So we know our desire is to be like Yahweh. Remember, Yahweh tells us, you shall not murder. Yahweh's commandments teach us how to build one another up. When you take away any commandment or change any of them, you change that effect. It has no effect then. And in Revelation 22, verse 19, it warns us not to change anything written in the Holy Scriptures. That includes the Ten Commandments. Remember, you shall not murder. In the book of Yisro, number 13, page 192, Pastor says, when someone tells you a tell, and you listen, and you don't correct that person, are you building the house? That is the question you should keep in mind. When someone is angry and they are saying something, or if they are not a believer, Yeshua is the judge. He is our judge. He is also working very closely with us in Yahweh's work right now. So that all men may honor the Son, that is the Son of Man. He created the Son of Man for this job, and he wants honor to go to the Son of Man, to you. He wants honor to go to you. Okay? He wants honor to go to you. Now, if you're showing dishonor to each other, get this now. Wake up. Listen to me. Are you awake, everybody? Woohoo! This is Pastor's words. He wants you to honor one another. If you fail to honor one another, you're not building up the house. You're not standing up for Yahweh. You're standing up for the accuser. When you lend an ear to them and you don't correct them to their face, as Yahweh said, then you're lending an ear to Satan the devil, who is man's accuser that is cast down at this time. Just as you honor the Father, get that? Did you get that? Honor the Son of Man just as you do the Father, just as you do Yahweh. That's what Yahweh is putting on you right now. He's got this coming to you. If you will just set your heart and mind and soul on this and carry it through, be strong in righteousness. Don't speak one thing and do another. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father. No, you show dishonor to the Father with your words, with your tongue, and by your tongue you're going to be condemned. Does not honor the Father who has sent him. Either if you don't show honor to the Son of Man, you don't show honor to Yahweh himself. Pretty plain, right? So remember, you shall not murder. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is 10 Things. Now, I know what you're already thinking. 10 things you like about fried chicken. 10 things that you like about chocolate cake. But that's not the 10 things we're talking about today. Today, we're talking about the 10 commandments. And specifically, the commandment that I'm touching on today is the third commandment. You must not take the name of Yahweh, your heavenly Father, and bring it to nothing. That is exactly what the Catholic Church and the Pope is trying to do, sisters. For those of you who have your books of Yahweh, if you could please turn over to Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. And it reads, "You shall not take the name of Yahweh, your heavenly Father, to bring it to nothing. For Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who brings dishonor upon or profanes his name." Yahweh is awesome. Would you agree? Praise Yahweh. Yahweh is awesome. And Yahweh's plan is perfect. He specifically said not to take his name and bring it to nothing. That's what the Catholic Church is trying to do. Pastor has been explaining, he's been explaining in detail the purpose of the Catholic Church. They're here to turn the hearts and minds away from Father Yahweh. Because by doing that, by doing away with Yahweh's name, they take away the very essence of Yahweh. What Yahweh stands for, what he means, what he represents. Because when a person knows and they understand Yahweh's name, then they're obligated to follow and to live by Yahweh's way of life. So we're going to continue to stay in the book of Exodus, of course, because we're talking about the Ten Commandments. And I like to think of the prophet Moshe as our great overseer. He was the one that Yahweh sent in that time to go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." And Moshe did his job. Well, when Moshe went to Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, Moshe said, "Who is Yahweh? Who is Yahweh that I should obey him and let the children of Israel go? I'm not letting the children of Israel go." Well, why did Pharaoh ask that question? Because in the time of the Egyptians, they worshipped literally hundreds of gods. Yahweh's name could not be found in the book of the gods. Why? Because Yahweh has never identified himself as such. Every time that Yahweh has declared himself or proclaimed who he is, he's always said, "I am Yahweh." That's what he said, period. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, then Moshe said to Yahweh, "Suppose I go to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The Almighty Father of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what should I tell them?" That was a very specific question. Well, in the next verse, Yahweh specifically answered Moshe, and he said, Yahweh said to Moshe, "I am who I am." And he said, "This is what you are to say to the children of Israel. Yahweh has sent me to you." That's what he said. Not God, not Lord, not any other name, but Yahweh has sent me to you. So, now that I've proven my first point, that the name of the Creator is Yahweh, period, I've got 10 things that I'd like for you to keep in mind about Yahweh. And I have some here posted on the board. Yahweh never had a beginning. He is the beginning. Yahweh will never end. Yahweh is utterly independent. Yahweh doesn't need anything to make him who he is. He is what he is, which is totally righteous. Praise Yahweh. Nothing can be compared to Yahweh. There is no one like Yahweh. Yahweh is constant. He's eternal. Yahweh himself is the absolute standard of perfection and integrity. Yahweh always chooses to do righteousness. Yahweh is the most important and valuable being in the entire universe. And now that we see that the awesomeness of our great Heavenly Father, how dare the Catholic Church, how dare them have the audacity to change a commandment that Yahweh set in motion, to totally remove his name from the scriptures. I'd like for you to keep those things in mind about Yahweh and to remember that the true name of the Creator is Yahweh.
And with that, I would like to turn it to the next speaker.
Y'all may be seated. Shalom. Today, my title of my speech is Be Strong for the Ten Commandments. When I was younger, a young lady, I remember being told by an older woman, she said, listen, there's something I want to tell you. There's a little bit of wisdom that I need to share with you. And I want you to listen. I want you to pay attention. And I want you to take this to heart. She said, when I was younger, I read the Ten Commandments. And every time I read it, I said, well, I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to do that, and so forth and so forth. I'm not a murderer. I don't steal. And she never actually took it to heart. And so as the years went by, maybe 10 or even 20, she looked back, and she realized that she had murder in her heart. She realized that she had broken so many of these Ten Commandments because she never took it seriously. So she says, young lady, I want you to take it seriously. She says, I want you to read them. I want you to pay attention to what they're saying, and I want you to realize something. Now, I like to read Romans 7, verses 7. What, can anyone therefore say that the law is sin? No, by no means. But to the contrary, I did not know sin, transgression of the law, except through the law. For I did not know lust unless the law had said, do not covet. And she says that is a very important point right there that it speaks on. Because we don't know what sin is unless we are told. And then when we realize what sin is, we have to look at ourselves and accept something. And I'll give you another example from Romans 8, verse 6 through 7. For to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is an enemy, bitterly against Yahweh, for it is not subject to the law of Yahweh, nor indeed can it be. And we all have that carnal mind inside of us. And so that's the first thing we have to accept, she told me, is that we all have the ability to commit sin. We have it. We can be doing it right now. When we not feel like it today, but we can feel like it in a few days later if we don't determine in our minds, accept the fact that, yes, I can sin, and then take it seriously and say, no, I'm going to determine in my mind that I shall not covet my neighbor. I shall not covet anything that is not mine. But it goes further than that. It's not just saying it. It's thinking about it. It's meditating on it. It's like it says, meditate on the law. We must really take it seriously, sisters. We must really take it to heart and make it a part of us. Imagine us not doing this. All manners of temptation come upon us and us not breaking a single one of these Ten Commandments. Now, I'd also like to read to you 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There is no temptation taken hold of you except what is common to man. And Yahweh is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he'll make a way for escape that you may be able to bear it. And I tell you, it is true. We have these opportunities put before us. And if our mind is not on the law, we will not see that open way for escape. So I ask all of you, really take it seriously. I mean, consider this question. What is a man's character that is blown in the wind? Do we want our character to be blown here and there? Our character are the Ten Commandments. And we need to make them strong and firm. Throughout history, we can look and we can see wonderful people who, because of the winds pushing upon them, the wars that came, they did not keep what they believed in. They got pushed every which way, and they did so many terrible things. And I ask you not to be that. In closing, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13. Watch, stand firm in the faith. Be brave and be strong. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my address today is Just Like I Said. Who said? Yahweh said. Through our repentance, and you can write Acts 3:19 for your notes, conversion, and baptism, we become the adoptive children of Yahweh. Turn with me in your books of Yahweh over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 on page 916. It reads, preordaining us to be his children by adoption through Yeshua Messiah according to the righteous pleasure of his plan. How many of you have heard a parent or guardian say these words, just like I said? Anyone? Maybe they said, bubbly Betty, you just might not want to jump off the roof in those skates. Well, I'm fine. I got my helmet, my knee pads. I'm going to be all right. And bubbly Betty finds herself facing her mom with a few coins short of a dollar and maybe some crossed eyes. This is all her mom can say is, it's just like I said, right? So turn with me to Exodus 20, verse 16. It's a popular scripture today. It's on page 61. And it reads, you shall not bear false testimony against your neighbor. Now, of the Ten Commandments, this is commandment number 9. What commandment number is it? Great. Do not bear false testimony against your neighbor, commandment number 9. Now, I'm going to show you the first time this commandment was broken. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. It reads, and the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Well, guess what? Here we are nearly 6,000 years later, and this same false testimony is being spread through the entertainment industry, through religious teachings and traditions, and even through the pharmaceutical industries. They don't necessarily say, you will not surely die, but they say, oh, go ahead, it's fine. Just we'll get a pill, we'll get a patch, we'll get a glue, a gun, a stick, something. Just patch you up, and you'll be fine. But we know that's not true, right? Because the scripture says the wages of sin is? And the gift of Yahweh is? Very nice. So, as a result of this false teaching, this deception that you will not surely die, this Nimrod system, which is led by the Vatican, is guiding the world down a path of disease, confusion, war, and ultimately nuclear devastation, just like Yahweh said. Okay? But there is hope. Like any father, Yahweh gives us, his adoptive children, rules, and we know them as the 613 laws and the Ten Commandments. And the best part is, they never change. The Yahweh's laws are the same today as they were before, and they always will be. And with those rules, if we overcome and we apply these rules, Yahweh gives us a promise. And what is that promise? Turn with me to Obadiah chapter 1, verse 17 on page 701. It reads, but upon Mount Zion will be deliverance, and there will be holiness, and the house of Jacob will possess their inheritance. What is this inheritance? Carrying on the family name of Yahweh, the kingdom, the laws, and eternal life. You see, Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of death, but Yahweh's kingdom is a kingdom based on his 613 laws and the rules, the Ten Commandments, and his kingdom is a kingdom of life. So I implore you to hold fast to that which has been proven to be perfect, so that you too can partake in this great inheritance. Just like I said, says Yahweh. I thank you for your time, and now I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. My title today is More Than Meets the Eye. More than meets the eye, this means that there's a hidden significance. It's more complex and interesting than it first seems. So why the Ten Commandments? Could it be that there is more than meets the eye? In the sixth book of Yisro, our great overseer in chapters 7 and 8, he explained it so well. He said Yahweh proved mankind would rapidly deteriorate without guidelines. The Ten Commandments kept mankind in line according to Yahweh's set plan. This shows us the strength in those Ten Commandments. They kept mankind from completely going downhill until, of course, Yahweh allowed technology to increase. And then the TV came in, sin was promoted, sin was made to look like the desirable thing to do. So more than meets the eye. The fourth commandment, keep the Sabbath day holy. Rest, it's not just rest, lay around. It's rest from our work and come to the house of Yahweh and do His work. The fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. Of course you're going to honor your physical parents, but even more importantly, your mother, the house of Yahweh, and our great father Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. The tenth commandment, you shall not covet. Yes, that means possessions. That means people, positions. But that word covet is number 2530 in Strong's, and it also means what you desire. So what do we desire? We live in a consumer-based society. There is always something to buy. The new car, the new house, technology. Technology is always changing, so there's always something to buy. Yes, it is a big blessing. It gets this message out. But it's also one of the biggest distractions. Desires, yes. To the uneducated, the untrained, this world looks very desirable. But there's also more than meets the eye. Because underneath all that glitz and glamour, there's STDs, there's famines, there's sickness, there's ultimately death. Desires, what should be our number one desire? Isn't it to remain in this great house forever? On 6-3, our great overseer in closing, he said, this is not the only life I'm fighting for. I'm fighting for a future kingdom. This stuck with me. Yes, that's why we're here. Yes, we go through the day-to-day grind, but think about living forever. Matthias 6:19, 20 through 21 and 33, do not store up treasure on earth where moth and rust consume, thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not consume, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart. So seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh. All of His righteousness will be added to you. Speaking about a kingdom, I am so blessed to volunteer in this great work. And one of my jobs is sometimes to answer the phone. Well, not too long ago, I answered the phone, hello, how can I help you? And on the other line it was, this is Eric from Final Expenses calling. Is Mr. or Mrs. Hawkins available? Now, I try to be too courteous to these telemarketers. So I'm like, no, I'm sorry, can I take a message? Well, no, there's no message. I'll call back later. Okay, bye-bye. Well, I thought about it. I said, what I really wanted to say was, don't bother calling back. That Mr. Hawkins you're calling for, he's going to live forever, so he need no final expenses. Praise Yahweh. Yes, praise Yahweh. In the National Geographic, it talks about Pope Francis remaking the Vatican. One of his comments is, God is not afraid of new things. New things? Like changing the Ten Commandments again? And making new ones? Well, Yahweh, the awesome, the almighty, heavenly Father that He is, He gave us 10 commandments. They're perfect. So perfect, in fact, that they need no changing, no additions, no omissions. They are perfect. Praise Yahweh, it's not too late. You can join in this work. We can all bring back the original, the only 10 commandments. I'll leave you with Hebrews chapter 11, and it talks about our forefathers who died before us. They said they longed for a better kingdom. Yes, we long for a better kingdom. And yes, there is so much more to offer in this kingdom than meets the eye. I assure you, hold on, hold fast, it won't be long. Please welcome the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and everyone. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. One moment. Oh, wow. These are heavy. Could you imagine having to carry these around every day? Well, the title of my speech today is, we don't need marble sculptures. We are set on this stone rock. We may not have to carry heavy stones around every day, but these Ten Commandments, which are a truncated form of the 613 laws, were chiseled into stone in the beginning because they are permanent, never-changing, exact, final, perfect. And who would want to change perfect? In Deuteronomy 6:6, it says, and these laws which I command you this day must be in your heart. And on that same page, page 152 of your book of Yahweh, side note R2, it says, they should be familiar in your mouth. Now, right there, we see that these commandments should be firmly placed in our hearts, and therefore, they should be well versed within our mouths. Now, in 1 Kefa 3:15, it reads, but sanctify Yahweh, our Father, in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Great House of Yahweh, not only should we never forget that Scripture blatantly instructs us never to add to or take away from any of these laws, but at any given moment, we should be so familiar with these commandments that we can give anyone better understanding of why these commandments should never be changed and never done away with. In the second book of Yisrael, this is chapter 29 on page 262, and this is referring to Romans 7:12, where it says, therefore, the law is holy, and the commandments are holy, and just, and righteous. And it reads, this is what brings us to holiness, the holiest of the holy. Other scriptures show we must learn to love these laws and be zealous for them. Zealousness in not only living by them, but letting them be a part of our lives and upholding them. Great House of Yahweh, we know that these commandments are spiritual, as said in Romans 7:14, and that to be spiritually minded is life and peace, as said in Romans 8:6. Many scriptures reiterate time after time that the commandments are life. So if the commandments are life, then what do we have if we alter or change these commandments? Let no pope or anyone else for that matter, Great House of Yahweh, deceive you. We who keep these commandments, we who are set on this firm rock foundation, we are being made in our Heavenly Father's likeness. And we don't want our ears tickled with foolishness that the commandments have been changed or that they've been done away with and that we will not surely die. We've heard that before and we know how that story ends. Yahweh says that his commandments are not grievous in 1 Yochanan 5:3. So we're not burdened with carrying around heavy tablets every day to remind us of what is already firmly chiseled within our hearts. And we zealously hold on to Yahweh's commandments within our mouths. And we will be found faithful, ready, willing, and able to teach every listening ear that is soon to come. We would be ready to teach every listening ear that these Ten Commandments stand sure. So let's continue to fill our hearts with this tested to perfection law. And let's continue to hold on to the true commandments. And may Yahweh bless your understanding. I'll turn it over to the next speaker. Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. And may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech this morning is, If It's Not Broken, Pope Francis, Don't Fix It. I'm going to pose a riddle for you because I like riddles. What is broken but never needing to be fixed? The more it is broken, the more evident its perfection. What is it? Now you might think of an egg. You can break an egg. You might break a record. You might break a leg. I'm not going to bring any props for any of these things because I thought it was wise not to do so. But to fix something, it has to be broken. And we have to prove to this Pope Francis that he has no right, no authority to fix or change what he is planning to do in these 11 commandments he is proposing. So, House of Yahweh, what is perfection? Do you know what perfection is? You can answer, I like this interaction. The laws. I hear somebody over here. Are you not the wisest beings on the face of the earth at this time? Are you not sitting under the greatest teacher in the world? So what is perfection, House of Yahweh? The law is perfection. Perfection defined in the Webster's Dictionary of the English Language is having all desired qualities, having no flaws or shortcomings, correct in every detail, thorough and utter. So he desires to fix something that is perfect. Does that make sense? Can you look over here to my left? I have fixed, broken, perfection. Is that not oxymoron at its greatest? Fixed, broken, perfection. How do you do that? But he plans to fix something that is perfect. In Psalms 19, verse 7 through 11, you read that the law is perfect and makes wise the simple. Through it, we are warned of the troubles to come. And Yahweh gives us no reason to doubt that his law will guide us. In the days of Solomon, if you would remember, there was perfect peace on every side with their enemies. If there was an enemy, he made unity with them, and he had peace with them because he kept what? What did you say? Oh. Say it with honor and with zeal because you know what it is. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 19, it says, perfect laws written for you, bearing witness. So these laws are written for you. And in 21, it says, this law testifies against you, whether you keep it or not. It will be as a witness, and it will not be forgotten forever. It is forever. Jeremiah 23, verse 27, we see the beginning of their sin, which is taking away the name of Yahweh and doing away with his law. It started here. And that is the commandments number 3 and number 4, which are the most important, and it is what we have our foundation upon, the name of Yahweh and the Sabbath day. And what did Pastor say? If they don't agree with these two, then it means it's not their time, right? In Hebrews 7, verse 28, shows that the Messiah was perfected by the means of this law. It is a perfect law. Perfect. It does not need to be corrected. Hebrews 8, verse 9 through 10, the law is able to renew. And this law is the same law he will renew with this people who have rejected him and changed the hearts and minds. Is that not the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program? Yes? So let us see what will occur to the man who attempts, he's not going to change anything because it is forever. What will occur to the man and befall the man who thinks to change what is perfect? You can write for your notes Revelation 22, verse 18 through 19, and that's prohibitive laws number 313 and 314. Let's turn to Jeremiah and see what will befall this man.
Jeremiah 23. Let's start at 28 at the top here. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. He who has my word, the law and the prophets, let him speak my word, the law and the prophets, faithfully. And remember that Isaiah 8 verse 20, it says, if they do speak not according to the law and the prophets, what? It's because what? There is no light in them. You are so wise. I knew you would know that already. Let's go down to 32. Behold, I am against those who prophesy, or let's make it more intimate and more detailed. I am against he, Pope Francis, who dreams falsely and says, they tell them and it caused my people to error. They caused my people to error through their telling these lies with their recklessness. Yet I did not send them nor commanded them. They are of no benefit. And you see that no benefit when I saw that? It's like that boing that the overseer talks about. Yeah, I saw worthless, of no benefit, the little horn. And write for your notes Daniel 7, verse 8, 21, and 25. And let's go down all the way down to the bottom at verse 40. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame which will not be forgotten. And he can repent. Everybody has the opportunity to overcome and repent. But it is prophesied, and Pope Francis is fulfilling prophecy. So once again, House of Yahweh, let's tell Pope Francis. Pope Francis, if it's not broken, don't fix it. One, two, three. Pope Francis, if it's not broken, don't fix it. You are so wonderful, and I will turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is, What is the reason the Pope changed the Ten Commandments, and what is the blessing of keeping the Ten Commandments? For our first scripture, I would like to turn over to Mark chapter 7, verse 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 7. And it reads, But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. In today's world, we see that they only teach their own doctrine, that which benefits them. And what benefits them is not always great for you. In this world today, we see so much sickness, so much suffering, and so much misery. When I was given the topic of the Ten Commandments, it's like I couldn't pick just one commandment to speak on because, like the previous speaker has said, if you break one, you break them all. They all go hand in hand. And the reason why Yahweh set these commandments here is for so that we can have that perfect joy and peace and abundant living. We don't see that today. All we see is the doctors, they prescribe you pill after pill after pill, and then you end up in a hospital for days, weeks, months, and you don't. There's no cure and there's no solution in this world today. There's one pill that does this, and then they don't know what's wrong. And then so they prescribe this pill to counteract this pill and this pill to this pill. So they have no answers to the problem. If you would like to turn over with me to 3rd Yochanan chapter 10. I'm going to pull myself together. 3rd Yochanan chapter 10. It says, So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing. Prating against us and with malicious words, and not content with that, he does not welcome the brothers. He also forbids those who want to do so and puts them away from the called out ones. So those who are wanting to come here, that's the reason why the Pope is changing the Ten Commandments and he's adding to the Ten Commandments. It's because he doesn't want to pull those people, the people in this world, out of the sickness and the misery that they are going through today. He wants them to remain in with them. In the second scripture, in the next scripture, can you turn over with me to Colossians 2, chapter 22? Colossians 2, chapter 22. These things pertaining to the commandments and teachings of men, if used, are for corruption. So he's only changing the Ten Commandments because the Ten Commandments, when Satan said to Eve, "You will not surely die," she meant you won't die in one day, but you'll die piece by piece by piece, slowly and painfully. And it's only for their own benefit, for the benefit of bringing money into their pockets. They don't care about the people. If they cared about the people, the overseers said that they would teach them the laws of Yahweh and they would teach them the way to life. Money is the root of all evil, and we see that in the world today. They will stop at nothing to get their pockets full. For our next scripture, if we can turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 13. And this is what Yahweh says. The Pope says, "Oh no, it's okay for us to change the commandments. It's okay for us to add to or take away. And, you know, some of these commandments you don't have to keep." But Yahweh says to us, He declares to you his covenant with which he commanded you to follow the Ten Commandments he wrote on two tablets of stone. Now, did he say for you to do away with them or to add to them? No, he said he wrote them for you to follow. Now, the next scripture I have is 1 Corinthians 7, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 19. And we're moving on to, the more joyful part. It says, "Is it not true?" Well, we're just going to read the last part. "But the keeping of Yahweh's laws counts for everything." It accounts for everything. Our life, the way we walk, the way we treat one another, it accounts for everything. And we should always, in every aspect of our lives, keep Yahweh in our minds as we treat one another, so that we can treat one another with respect, as the previous speaker says. For the next scripture, I have Deuteronomy 11, chapter 8. "Therefore, you must keep every law I give you today, that you may be strong and go in strong and take possession of the land you are crossing over to possess." To take the land you are crossing over to possess. And we see that the land now these days, they're not fruitful and it doesn't multiply. So it's just like, okay, what land are we going to possess? We're going in to possess the kingdom of Yahweh. But what all entails in the kingdom of Yahweh is everything that's going wrong in today's world. It will be right. So how then will the keeping of the Ten Commandments benefit us? For my last scripture, I have Leviticus chapter 26. And this is the best scripture. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3 and 4. "If you walk in my statutes and keep my laws and perform and do them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit." Now, if that's not a beautiful scripture, then I don't know what is, because you don't have that nutrition from our food that we should have. We don't have it. I mean, the weather today, let's face it, it's 100 degrees outside, and sometimes you're like, where's the rain? But we have no rain because the Pope is changing the Ten Commandments and he's adding to and taking away from the laws of Yahweh. So let us all bring back the rain and let us teach uphold these teachings because the time is short. And we see that in these last days that there's such a strong push for the pushing of the, for the breaking of Yahweh's laws, because he knows that his time is near. Satan knows her time is near and her rule is over. And we will have that peace, joy, and abundant living that Yahweh has promised us. And with that, I would like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. The title of my speech today is Love Your Neighbor as Yourself. If you think about it, we all have to live with our neighbors all the time. We see them, we talk with them, and we deal with them in a variety of ways nearly every day of our lives. If there were no guidelines as to how we should treat one another, our lives might be highly chaotic, with trouble waiting for us at every corner. When you look at the Ten Commandments found in Exodus chapter 20, you can see that the first four are directed towards showing love to Father Yahweh, and the last six are directed towards showing love to your neighbor. I am covering these last six today. Starting with the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Honor means to show respect, submission, and even to take care of. And 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, do not rebuke an older man, but entreat him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters. This shows us that we should treat all those in authority over us with respect and submission. They are there to guide, to teach, and to protect us. Let's look at the sixth commandment now. You shall not murder. Think back to when Cain killed Abel. Genesis chapter 4 shows that anyone that takes the life of another without just cause is cursed from the earth. They are a fugitive and a vagabond. Now, I didn't quite understand those words, so I looked it up, and it means wandering from place to place with no settled home and always hiding and avoiding arrest or persecution. It shows that Cain was ever searching for peace and that there would be continual war, vengeance, and retaliation. The seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Because of fornication and adultery, STDs are at all-time highs. A new study shows that since 1940, scientists have identified 335 emerging infectious diseases in people. If this commandment were being kept, we would not see this. Family homes would not be broken, and children would have a healthy environment and both parents to grow up with. The eighth commandment is, you shall not steal. Have you ever noticed the high prices of food and merchandise in the stores? Or the need for locking your doors and even your windows to keep your belongings safe? How about having to rely on high-tech security systems? All of these are a direct result of stealing. If this commandment were being kept, we would live in a world without these added expenses. We would have peace of mind and could trust everyone around us. Commandment number 9, you shall not bear false testimony. Have you ever been falsely accused of something that you didn't do, something that was wrong? Then you carried that stained reputation around with you for months, maybe years, or even the rest of your life. A Columbus, Ohio study recently estimated that about 10,000 people in the United States may be wrongfully convicted of serious crimes each year. They found that the most important factor leading to this was eyewitness misidentification. And the last commandment is, you shall not covet. Now, there is nothing wrong with desiring to have something as long as you can obtain it lawfully. On the other hand, desiring to have something that you cannot have lawfully can lead to breaking some of the other commandments, such as stealing, committing adultery, or even bearing false testimony and murder. In a way, keeping this one commandment helps ensure you keep the others. Now, these last six of the Ten Commandments give us a very nicely rounded set of guidelines on how we should treat our neighbors so that there can be peace in both our lives and theirs. Let any one of these commandments be ignored,
and that area of life falls into chaos for those affected. And this can ripple out to an ever-growing group of people. And to think that there are some that would like to change some or all of the Ten Commandments. As for me, when you have something this perfect, I think we should keep every bit of it. I thank you for your time and attention, and with this, I'd like to turn over to the next speaker.
So, you may be seated. How are y'all doing today? Y'all enjoyed it so far? Okay, so my title today is Reason for the Rules. And I know a lot of people don't like rules, but when we can learn to understand and see their benefit, we see that they're not so bad and that we actually need them. So no matter what age we are or where we go, there are rules in place. So we have no running in the building, don't put your finger in the light socket, no shirt, no shoes, no service, and of course, stay alert, text and talk later. So put your phones away when you're driving. So these few cover all ages and have to do with the safety of ourselves and others. Now, I looked up the definition of rules at dictionary.com, but first, some of the synonyms are guide or guidelines, model, moral, precept, law, and of course, commandments, like the Ten Commandments. Yes, they are 10 basic rules that promote safety and well-being for all. So we'll get back to this in a moment. So a rule is a principle or regulation governing conduct, action, procedure, etc. So basically, they are designed to tell us how to present ourselves, what to do and what not to do, and how to do it. But this one really caught my attention. So it's the definition is a prescribed mathematical method for performing a calculation or solving a problem. But, you know, don't let that freak you out or anything. Don't run away. Remember, no running in the building. Because it's very simple. Just hear me out. So 2 + 2 will always equal 4. And the greatest thing about math is the rules never change. And all the concepts build on each other. So the 4-year-old, her name is Julie, she's learning basic arithmetic, and she'll still be using this basic arithmetic when she gets to linear equations. See? 2 + 2 = 4. Okay. So, no matter where in the world you are, the number, or what the number 4 sounds like in your language, the rules are always the same. So you get it now? It's not so bad. Okay, so there's our academics now on to Scripture. The Ten Commandments are written for us in Exodus 20, verse 3 through 17, and in Deuteronomy 5, verse 7 through 21. Now, these are 10 basic rules that the creator of the universe saw fit and proved necessary for the safety and well-being of mankind. They tell us how and when to serve him and how to act toward our fellow man or woman. These same basic rules are even found in the New Testament. So if you will be turning over to Matthew 22, verse 37. Matthew 22, 37. No, yeah, 22:37, okay. So Yeshua said to him, "You must love Yahweh your Father with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Now, how do we do this? What? Okay, by choosing to show him complete obedience. Now, verse 39. And the second is like it, "You shall love your brother as yourself." So here's where the math metaphor comes in, right? So in every language, a gun says bang. We all bleed red, and we all want to feel safe. So remember Julie, our 4-year-old? If we teach her not to steal now, she won't be stealing pencils going through elementary school. She won't steal that watch that got left in the locker room when she's in high school, and she won't resort to burglary when she's an adult. But if we don't teach them these things, then how are they going to know what's right and what's wrong? The longer we try to make these rules of no effect, the more we try to do away with morals, these Ten Commandments, the more we will see the news filled with children killing their parents, mobs of teens ransacking stores, and of course, nations continually warring. So we see these examples throughout scriptures where they started breaking these Ten Commandments. Romans 1, verse 18 through 28. Of course, we've heard a lot more throughout the presentation today. Thank you. But in just one quick, in Romans 1:21, this is where they're talking about some of them breaking these Ten Commandments, and it talks about their senseless minds were darkened. And so whenever I think of that, I think of Deuteronomy 28, verse 29, and it reads, "You shall grope at noonday, just as a blind man gropes in the dark. You will not be successful in any of your ways." And verse 28 tells you why. And it says, confusion of the mind. So breaking these rules causes confusion of the mind. When there are no guidelines, no morals, and no rules, it is completely chaotic and pure confusion. When we break these basic rules, the Ten Commandments, we no longer have the safety the Creator of the universe intended for His children. We no longer have the guidance to direct us in proper conduct. We lose the ability to see how our actions affect others, and we no longer care about the well-being of our neighbor. So you've heard Revelations 22, 14 and 19 today. You know, blessed are you that keep His commandments. You know, King James Version says commandments. I brought that. But rules are for a reason, and these Ten Commandments are set in stone. They cannot be changed nor taken away. They must be taught, and all people need to know that they are for our benefit, and we should choose to allow them to govern our everyday lives. And for all the scoffers out there that may be thinking, you know, well, that article that they keep talking about, that's a spoof, right? Why are they making such a big deal about it? I'll tell you why. Because just, you know, think about it, like in July, sorry. Call, write, or email, or go to yahweh.com and get the 613 prophetic word and the 1213 prophetic word. Because Yisrael Hawkins wrote an open letter to the Supreme Court, the 613, and the 1213 explained in detail that all religions today are accepting sodomy. And just 2 short years later, it's legal in the United States of America. So I thank you for your time, and if you all please stand, I will welcome my next speaker.
I told you they were awesome, weren't they? Thank you. You all may be seated again. So do you think we achieved our goal? I agree. So we had 18 speakers today, right? That was really nice. And here's the plot. We learn to set and determine in our mind that we will be a part of Yahweh's promise that can only come from the practicing and upholding of His law. And we grasp onto that hook that is trying to pull us out of sin, that is Yisrael Hawkins, teaching us the Ten Commandments. We know that our prayers are answered because we choose never to change the Ten Commandments, because we honor our spiritual father and our mother. We uphold the commandments. We never toss them to the side to be cracked by the wayside. We understand that Yahweh tells us not to murder, even with our tongue, by character assassination. We learn 10 things about Yahweh, and that it is our choice if we take it seriously or not. It's just like Yahweh said. We should store up our treasure in heaven so that it's not too late for us when the time comes. We don't need marble sculptures because the Ten Commandments are permanently etched within our hearts and minds. They are never changing. They are final. They are perfect. We must love these laws and be zealous by them. Remember, if it's not broken, don't try to fix it. You cannot improve on perfection. What is perfection? Perfection is the keeping of Yahweh's laws. Everyone has the power to repent. What is the reason that the Pope changed the Ten Commandments? And what are the benefits of keeping them? The world experiences sickness and pain because they are groping in the dark. They do not have the Ten Commandments. They do not know what to do to stop the misery and the pain that they suffer through. The scripture says that they are groping in the dark. But if we keep the law of Yahweh, Yahweh tells us that we will have these blessings. We will have rain in season. We will have peace, joy, and abundant living. We should always love our neighbor as ourselves and remember that if we had no rules or guidelines, our lives would be kind of chaotic. There are reasons for the rules, and there are reasons for the Ten Commandments. Rules have to do with the safety of ourselves and others. No matter where you go in the world, 2 + 2 is always?
4.
Right. So the rules, just like Yahweh's laws and Ten Commandments, stay the same. And if we learn and teach these things as we grow up in our lives, our children will not grow up in thievery and lies and deception. They will appreciate these rules and regulations that our Father Yahweh has given us out of love. And we all value the safety that Yahweh wants for us. And we want it too, to be a part of this peace. So I'm going to ask you some questions and I want you to answer very zealously. Do we uphold the Ten Commandments?
Yes!
Praise Yahweh. Are the laws of Yahweh forever?
Yes.
And will Yahweh's righteousness prevail?
Yes.
Praise Yahweh. And I want to point you to the scripture in Habakkuk 2:3. And I want to encourage you to remain here forever. Though it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Let's give all our teachers another hand.